Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overduun, the minister of the Calgary Free Reformed Church.
The scripture text for today's message, dear friends, is very special, and most fitting also for this Sunday, with it being so-called Mother's Day in our society. It is true, a faithful mother in the family is a priceless blessing and gift, and how thankful to God especially we should be for a mother who truly cares for us and is always out for us, not just for our physical and earthly well-being, but also for our spiritual and eternal good. The Lord calls us to honor our mother and father not just one day of the year, but every day of the year. For all too many in our society, this special day called Mother's Day is not easy for you. For perhaps you recently lost your mother by death, or maybe you don't have good memories in connection with your mother, or she was unfaithful to you. The fact is, in many families, also today, there's a lot of brokenness. How good that on this day, which is especially Sunday, yes, the Lord's Day, that we may look to God and to His Word to guide and to help us in all our needs, also with all the family cares and needs in our 21st century. This brings us to our text for today's broadcast, too. The text passage, Matthew 12, verse 46 to 50, tells about how one time, while Jesus was in a house, ministering and teaching the people, that the message came to him that his mother and family members were standing outside and wanted to speak with him. Just listen to this scripture passage, Matthew 12, 46 to 50. While he, that's Jesus, yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said to him, behold, your mother and your brethren stand without or outside, desiring to speak with you. But he answered and said to him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren, my family? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever will do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. From this scripture, dear friends, we are reminded immediately that Jesus had at least four half-brothers and two half-sisters. I say half-brothers and sisters because Jesus himself had no human father, did he? Joseph, we know, was Jesus' stepfather, for Jesus was conceived by God the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Scripture clearly teaches us. But after Jesus' birth, Mother Mary didn't remain a virgin. No, but with Joseph as her husband, Mary gave birth to other children. So we are told clearly in Matthew 13, verse 55 to 56, the people asking about Jesus and saying to each other, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man, Jesus, get all these things, that is, all this wisdom and power? You see clearly from this scripture, found also in Mark 6, it brings out Mary, the mother of Jesus, did not remain a virgin all her married life. And those who teach she did, the Roman Catholic Church, is just plainly wrong, and teaching something that is contrary to God's holy word. So now we are told in our text, Jesus' mother and his brothers were asking for him and wanted to tell him something. And let's notice how Jesus responds. Jesus uses the interruption in his ministry from his family members to instruct the people. And he asks then to those around him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And we are told that he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, Jesus says, is my brother and sister and mother. What should we think about this passage? I want to bring out, this is such a tremendous gospel passage from every angle you consider it. Notice with me, first, what it doesn't mean is tremendous gospel truth. And second, what it does mean is even more tremendous gospel truth. And third, what it encourages and calls for is still more tremendous gospel truth. I speak first about what the text doesn't mean and how tremendous that is. You see, the text passage could be misunderstood. It almost seems like Jesus is being rude here to his mother and brothers and not caring about or respecting them at all. I mean, if you are at work and your mother should call or your family members should show up to talk with you a moment, shouldn't you stop a moment and hear what they have to say? It would not be very respectful or loving towards them if you just waved them off, as it were, and made as if you were too busy to be bothered with anything they might have to tell you. Sure, you must do your work and not let it interfere with your work, I understand. But if family comes, there's probably a reason. Jesus saying too here that whoever does the will of his Father in heaven, such is truly his mother or brother or sister to him, seems almost to discount his closest family members, doesn't it? Yet that wasn't the case at all, as I hope to show. We don't know from our text what Jesus' mothers and brothers and sisters wanted to talk to Jesus about. From another scripture, Mark 3, verse 21, we know there was at one time a real concern from them for Jesus, with them thinking maybe Jesus lost his mind with all that he was doing and claiming. Not from his mother, we may believe, but from his siblings especially. The scriptures tell us specifically in John 7, verse 5, that Jesus' siblings did not believe in him as Savior and Lord. No, not till after Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Would that be the case? And from our text chapter, knowing how the Jewish leaders were getting more upset with Jesus for this and for that, also this time, perhaps, Jesus' family members wanted to protect Jesus and to stop him from what he was doing and saying, which was only getting him into deeper and deeper trouble. We don't know for sure if this is what Jesus' family was wanting to meet with him now about. But whatever it was, what we need to realize here, Jesus in his response to them by no means was just brushing them aside and not caring at all about them or for them. Certainly, our text doesn't mean Jesus had no respect or regard for his mother and his brothers and sisters. How can we know this? Well, the Gospels themselves further teach us Jesus had great care and love for his mother Mary and for his half-siblings. Think here about how Jesus, when in the climax of his sufferings, even while hanging on the cross, he then thought of his dear mother Mary, whom he saw not too far from his cross. Ah, think of Mary as a faithful mother. She was standing by her son, even in that horrible ordeal. Jesus then, we are told, provided a home for her with his disciple John, saying in the third word from the cross to Mary, "Woman, behold your son," referring to John, and to John, "Behold your mother." We find this in John 19, verse 26 to 27. Why did Jesus take care to have his dear mother come under disciple John's roof and care? Well, Jesus knew at this time still all Mary's other children were unbelieving in Jesus as Savior and Lord. And Joseph, as far as we know, had probably passed away by this time. This meant they were not understanding at all what Mary might be going through with Jesus' death. What Mary needed most at this time, then, with Jesus' crucifixion, was the fellowship and ministry of one who had known and felt the same about Jesus as she had. Jesus wanted to keep his loved one in the fellowship and care of his closest followers, therefore. So Jesus shows us from the cross, you see, what it means to honor our parents indeed. That he calls her from the cross, woman, and not dear mother, was not disrespectful either. No, that too was to make clear that the earthly bond was now no longer what mattered so much with Jesus as Savior, but rather the spiritual bond. That is what counted most of all. This same Jesus brings out more in our text passage, as we shall see in a moment. Do we have evidence that Jesus also cared much about his siblings? his half-siblings. We surely do. And to prove that, do you know what Jesus took care to do when he arose from the dead? His half-brothers and sisters, who all during Jesus' life and public ministry would not recognize nor respect Jesus for who he was and proved himself to be, we are told Jesus made a special point still of reaching out to them, specifically in his separate resurrection appearance to his oldest half-brother, James. Yes, Paul tells us about this resurrection appearance to James in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 7. And we read in Acts 1 how when the disciples, after Jesus' ascension, were waiting for the Holy Spirit, among the 120 gathered together in the upper room, being with one accord in prayer and supplication, was who? Well, Mary, the mother of Jesus, along with his brothers and sisters, or you could say Jesus' half-siblings. This James, no doubt, we may believe, was used to evangelize the rest of the family after Jesus had appeared to him. And this James, we know, later also became a great leader in the Christian church and the writer of the Epistle of James in the New Testament. My point with this all, dear friends, is don't anyone get the idea from our text passage that Jesus didn't care about his immediate family. No, no, for the fact is, he truly cared for each and all of them too. Jesus is God, and the family is an institution designed by God for our good, and Jesus living also as a human being, like us in all things, but always without any sin, see him be the most loving and caring son and brother in the family in which he was raised. Yes, even for his family members, who no doubt hurt him much by their unbelief and their disregard for him, Jesus still cared for them and reached out to them in true love. Our text passage, in what it doesn't mean, then, you see, tells tremendous gospel truth. Jesus had real care even for the closest family members, when some of them were for years much against him. Oh, how Jesus' behavior also should direct and encourage us in our families. Are you respectful and kind and caring in your family? Or do you get quickly angry and speak and plan payback time, especially with your brothers or sisters? In the home, do you promote building trust between each other and showing love to one another and love to your parents? Do you talk and act respectfully before your God-given parents, as God calls us to do? The fact is, Jesus honored and cared about the marriage bond between a man and a woman, and he cared about the family bond as instituted by God and as the fifth commandment explains it, and we can be so thankful for Jesus' example and his mercy and love also in this regard. Do you see with me, just from what the text doesn't mean, we find tremendous gospel truth and comfort then? But now, looking at what it does mean, we find even more gospel truth so tremendous. Yes, for notice the following with me. For one thing, with Jesus' response in our text to his family members, we see Jesus the Savior being so focused on his gospel ministry. Isn't it true? Jesus uses the occasion to call all to trust and obey him as only Savior of sinners and Lord over all. Even the interruption in Jesus' life he would use in promotion of the gospel cause. Jesus was out constantly calling sinners to salvation, calling people to hear his voice and to follow after him in the way of true faith and repentance and obedience. And see Jesus now also making use of this opportunity to drive home this gospel call. See Jesus here so focused on reaching out to others with his gospel, the only gospel, and observe him forgetting himself while always thinking of others in their greatest needs. As confessing Christians, are you and I into being even a little bit like Jesus here? Is that what you pray and care about too? Isn't a godly mother and father in the family often a real example for us in this regard? Let us notice further how in what Jesus here does, in highlighting faith in him and obedience to him as all important, even above the closest family bond, isn't he thereby teaching us what is so crucial and blessed for everyone to know and to realize? We were made, first of all and most of all, to belong to God and to live for His honor and praise. But sin and Satan has deluded and ruined us now. The Bible teaches and history proves. Adam's fall into sin, as recorded in Genesis chapter 3, and our daily sins and sinfulness by nature bring out that we are a people estranged from God and under His righteous judgment left to ourselves. And we can have what seems the greatest family bond in our marriage and families, but if you are not reconciled to God by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, what good is it to you ultimately and eternally? What lasting blessing then can you really be to your children and to each other? Listen, more important than anything else is to be saved and followers of the Lord Jesus as revealed in God's Word and as taught to us by Christ. We need to become believing, obedient children of God in and through Jesus Christ. And Jesus highlights this, you see, in our text passage, doesn't he? Most clearly. More important than blood relations and more wonderful and precious than any and all earthly family relations is renewed relationship with God and being through faith in Christ, children of God, part of the body and family of the Lord Jesus Christ. Should we not thank God for Jesus highlighting this truth also in our scripture passage? Do you take this gospel teaching of Jesus to heart too? Or do you, like so many today, put family relations as counting most of all in life, no matter what? In this regard, we have to say it is tragic, really, the way people in our society today will celebrate Mother's Day, but will disregard the Lord's Day. To honor family bonds, but to fail to realize the need to be born again and to be converted and to become part of God's redeemed family through Christ is to miss the boat altogether. Family relations are precious, yes, but they can never be as important as relationship with God and belonging to His people and being adopted by grace through faith into the family of God. Of highest priority in life now is being numbered with the saved and among the true children of God in this world, and doing all the will of God the Father, as revealed to us in God's holy word. Oh, do you see this as all important too? And do you promote this as most important as well, especially too in your home and in your family life? Increasingly, Sundays, even for confessing Christians today, are becoming mostly family days, earthly family days, and promoted as such, more than worship days. Ah, this is a sad trend and clearly contrary to Jesus' teaching here, even in our text. Will you take care to keep the priorities right concerning these matters, dear friends? But to learn further how tremendous is what Jesus teaches in our text passage, consider more yet what Jesus means with what he does and says. After asking, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Jesus then points to his disciples and says, "Here are my mother and my brothers." For, goes on Jesus, "whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Dear friends, don't we so need to hear what Jesus is actually saying here? Jesus the Savior is saying that those who trust and obey Him and seek so to live, they become so intimately connected with Him, indeed closer than closest family members even could be. This is really something, considering too that Jesus pointed to his disciples, whom he would give as example of those with whom he had such a special and close bond. What can we say about those disciples? Ah, those men, in how many ways still were they not wayward and in the wrong in their thinking and acting? But yet Jesus saw them as sincerely seeking and doing his Father's will and following after him, and he tells them and us, "As many as repent of sin and believe in him, you are my true family, the ones I'm most closely knit together with." I ask you, doesn't this show God's amazing grace? And isn't this just most wonderful? The gospel news is that turning from sin and trusting Jesus as only Savior and following after him and his word, so doing the will of the Father in heaven, we become part of the intimate family of God. Indeed, then we by God's grace and Spirit truly become united to Christ in a way even more special by far than the flesh bond Jesus had with Mary, his mother, and with his stepbrothers and sisters. As one commentator put it, the disciples were men of little faith, weaklings still in many respects, as would come out more yet when Jesus would be crucified. However, the Savior is not ashamed to call them his dear brothers. Oh, that is surely amazing, undeserved grace and love on his part. You see, through Jesus and his saving work on sinners' behalf, we who rebelled and joined ourselves with Satan might yet by grace, through faith in him, be saved and become children of God and heirs of eternal life. Yes, joint heirs together with Christ the Savior, even as you and I seek and follow him, no matter what. Do you understand, too, that for Jesus to say this, what he himself had to be willing and resolved to do? Jesus, even God's beloved, only begotten Son, become flesh as Savior of sinners, he had to be willing and ready to be despised and rejected into sinner's place, and to become, in fact, as no man, but as a worm, even in suffering the curse and righteous punishment of sin in the place of sinners like us. Jesus had to give himself up even to the death of the cross to make it possible that sinners like us who had sold ourselves to sin and Satan might yet be redeemed and by grace through faith in Christ become still children of God, adopted children, who in Jesus' name may now call God our Father. We know Jesus gave himself up to this salvation work with all the love of his heart to God his Father, and for sinners and their salvation. Later, when Jesus arose from the dead, then he also said, we may believe with great joy to Mary Magdalene, in John 20, verse 17, go to my brethren, and say to them, ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God. You see, all part of one and the same family. Who of us could ever deserve this? Yet it is freely granted to all who turn from sin and trust and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Luke 11, verse 27 to 28, we have Jesus teaching the same gospel lesson as in our text. We read there about how while Jesus was preaching, it happened as he spoke that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him something like, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you. What this woman was suggesting with that outburst was surely there could be no higher blessing than being the physical mother of Jesus as Mary was. And truly, Mary was greatly blessed. And the angel Gabriel in Luke 1:28 also said of her that she was highly favored in being chosen by God to be the mother of Jesus. But Jesus responds, we are told, to that woman, yea, rather, or more than that, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Isn't this so instructive for us again? What Jesus says here is not only so very contrary to all the idolatrous, ungodly worship of Mary in our times by some, as the mother of Jesus, but Jesus saying a higher privilege than even being mother of Jesus is granted to all who trust and obey him. Indeed. For then you become part of the body of Christ and the family of God with an everlasting bond of fellowship that is rich beyond words. Do you see with me then in what Jesus doesn't mean here at all in our text passage, we can find tremendous gospel truth, while in what he does mean here, we can find even more tremendous gospel truth. But let me go on to my next point. And notice yet with you from our text, in what Jesus encourages and calls for here, we can gather still more tremendous gospel truth. And to bring out this point, I remind you of the context of our text in Matthew 12. If you check it, you will see Jesus is having many speaking against him, and the people living in stubborn opposition to Jesus. But notice how the chapter ends with Jesus extending even to them the call to become truly saved and to become really part of his family. How gracious this is of the Lord Jesus, then and still now. The Savior offers all people a place in his true and eternal family. Here don't miss, then, either that word in verse 50, whosoever, for that word whosoever proclaims and promises the universality of the invitation, of the gospel invitation, and it excludes none except those who will exclude themselves. Whoever will do the Father's will shall become part of the true and blessed family of God. To do the Father's will means here to follow the revealed will of God, the will, as one put it, that can be done by man through God's enabling grace. When you do the Father's will, then you repent of sin and believe in Jesus Christ as only Savior and Lord, and you seek to live then to God's praise and glory in obedience to His holy word. Is that how you will live too, dear friends, also in your family life, before God and each other? Jesus earnestly calls to all not to stay content aligned with sin and Satan, and not to be satisfied with just human family relations, as great a gift and joy as that may bring still, even in this fallen world. It is not enough to be part of a great church family either, while still personally to be outside of the family of God because of no true personal faith relationship with the Savior in line with all of God's word. I pray not one of you will be content so to live and so to die. You don't want to spend eternity in a hell hole with Satan and all the unbelieving, for that will be awful and agonizing beyond words to tell. Jesus came to save sinners like us. That's the good news of the gospel. Think of it. Jesus' mother, brother, and sister being even you and me and others too. Yes, all by God's amazing grace through Christ's finished salvation work, and by the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives, leading us in true conversion, in vital union and communion with Christ, and so becoming part of the family of God, already in this life, and then forever in glory eternal. Oh, nothing can surpass this tremendous gospel of grace for undeserving sinners, whoever has ears to hear. Yes, thus saith the Lord. Will you promote it in your family today? Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our services. To learn about the Free Reformed Churches in your area, check our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. If you have been blessed by this message, or you would like a free copy of today's broadcast, you can write to The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T22R1. That's The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T22R1. We are always glad to hear from our listeners. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at www.frcna.org. These radio messages are also being posted on the Internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com and search on the Banner of Truth. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.